This is The After Party, live with Jim McAllister and John Daly.
Yeah, yeah, it is Thursday.
Good morning. Yeah,
good morning.
We are dancing.
Good morning.
Good
nice
morning.
John Rothman.
Good afternoon. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. How
Already?
Are you? It is Thursday.
I'm good. My hair is doing a thing, but...
It's all right.
It's like, do I fight it or...
No, we don't judge. We don't judge.
Do. Don't lie.
There's something... You know what? Guys can get away with that must look, you know?
Musk?
Must. M-U-S-S-E-D. Must. Like Must up hair. You know,
okay.
The guys can get away with that. It looks like you're a cool guy.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah. Headphones kind of do a number on you. Anyway, on to things that are actually important.
On to things in the world. It is the After Party Live. Welcome to it. The tallest tower in the, well, in the United States, and the fifth tallest in the world, is soon to be built in Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma. Yeah. Wait, what?
Yes, that is what's going to happen. So they've now secured the funding for this tower, and the construction starting soon on this tower. It's called the Legends Tower. It's planned to be the tallest in America, and it will be built in Oklahoma City. It's designed by an architecture studio from California called AO. This super tall skyscraper.
AO. I'm walking here.
It's fully funded, and it's, 1.5 billion required for this skyscraper. So they'll also have three smaller towers around it. You can see there at the bottom, right? It's collectively known as the Boardwalk at Bricktown is what it will be called, but the tall tower is called the Legends Tower. So... if it's completed, and it looks like they're going to be able to build this thing, it will rise 1,907 feet in the air.
Oh, and I, thought you were going to say 11,780.
No. That wouldn't be the tallest. That would just be the cheatiest.
Well, here are your tallest right now.
There you go. Yep. If they do it, and again, it looks like they will, it'll be the tallest in the United States, fifth tallest in the world. They're starting they're planning to prep the site in June, getting a building permit in September, and then move ahead. And the entire project is financed. All they need is approval, and it looks like they're going to do it. They're going to do it.
Have you been to the top of any of these?
I have not.
I have done two of these.
Oh, which ones?
Number one and number two, baby.
Really?
Yeah.
One in Dubai, and then number two is Kuala Lumpur. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And you can actually feel like the air pressure when you go up to the top of the Burj. Same thing with the 101 Tower in Taiwan. Like when you're going up, these elevators are so fast that you can feel the pressure.
Wow.
You can feel the air pressure changes.
Don't some of them have like features at the top where the windows tilt out and freak you out as you're looking down?
Well, Kim, I've been to so many
water slides.
Can't really remember which features each one had. Although I did know the Burj has this complex system of it's ridiculously expensive, and it's more ridiculously expensive the better time of day that you pick. So I picked like the end of the day when, you know, nobody really wants to go up there because the sun's going to go down. And there's like a restaurant level, and you know, there's all.
So they charge you just to go to the top of the building?
Oh yeah.
How much is it?
Are you kidding? It was like, I don't remember offhand, but it was significant. I think it was like maybe close to $100, somewhere around there. And whatever I did was the cheapest option. You know me. It was a frugal option. I was not going to pay like double the price to go during the
day.
So I went like right at that bewitching hour, twilight hour.
When you look down from the windows up there, did your tummy feel oogie? Like,
Well, you're inside, but still it is really high up. And but you're not like clinging to the side of anything. So... I was okay.
I have really exciting news that just crossed my phone.
Uh-oh.
You know Julia's in band, right? And she plays all these instruments, but her desire was to be the person that didn't play any instruments at all and instead leads the band in parades and leads the band on the field as the drum major, right? The person who carries the and gets to wear the cool outfit.
Yeah.
and her band teacher just asked her to be the drum major for the next 3 years.
Wow. Winning.
Right? How cool is that? She gets to wear the Scottish kilt and the little band, little thing around her. I'm so excited
for
her.
They all wear a Scottish kilt?
No, just the drum major. Yeah.
Really? And she's got Scottish ancestry.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Oh, apropos, are you going to be a helicopter mom? A drone mother? A drone mother?
No.
Is that a thing? They should call them drone mothers now.
Yeah, they should call them drone
like a stage mom.
This weekend.
Like a stage mom.
No, I don't think so. I mean, my husband says that I am that, but I try to let them have their independence.
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm doing the best I can over here, you know? If you're listening on podcast, on audio only.
Oh, I was about to read that, but I think you've
given up on me. Oh, go ahead. Carry on.
Please leave us a review and rate us. I don't want to interrupt you. See, that's the
thing.
Please leave us a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you use to get your podcast. This will help bump up the show's visibility. And a lot of you have done that. Thank you so much. And those of you who have given us 5 stars, we appreciate it so much. I have a quick headline, but first... Mm-hmm. Pamela Kirby.
Pamela!
With $5 super sticker. Thank you, Pamela.
So nice. Really, really nice.
Yes, that's very cool. And people are pointing out that it's Pi Day. Pi Day, sorry.
Yeah, Jim it's Shields March 14th.
Pointing out that it is Pi Day. So happy Pi Day to
happy
everybody.
Happy Pi Day. It's also SJ Lola's birthday.
SJ Lola, do you have balloons?
I don't think I have balloons, and I don't know if SJ Lola's here. But regardless, I'll try to give you some balloons anyway. We celebrate the listeners to all the shows here on the After Party. So happy birthday to SJ Lola. Woo!
It's okay if you don't subscribe to our show. I won't take it personally. Yeah. You know what else I won't take personally? Breaking very sad news out of Texas.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Pornhub has disabled the website in Texas over objection to the age verification law.
What do you have to do? Just click over 18?
Oh, no, they just shut the website down.
Right, but what was the problem with the law?
Well, I don't have the details in front of me, but my understanding was that that you had to register, something to that effect. They were making it very, very complicated. I didn't know there were going to be questions. I thought you had been on top of the story and would be able to fill in details.
Sorry.
I don't have the details in front of me, but it was. They made it much harder for them to operate in those states. So instead of complying with their ridiculous law, they're just saying, we're not going to make the website available. So I'm sure there will be an uprising amongst mostly men.
I was afraid to Google it, but I have. And they're blocking users in Texas because of a lawsuit from Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton over, the age verification practices. When, I guess, you go to that website in Texas.
Yeah, I think you had to reveal your details.
You have. It's a lengthy statement from the whole thing. That's not the only one. There's a couple others. RedTube, I don't know. They're blocked as well.
I think these are all owned by the same company, allegedly. Yeah. Not that I know from personal experience. I'm just saying.
They say the complaint is that it impinges on the rights of adults to access protected speech. So,
well, the reality is guys don't want to give up their information when they're anonymously looking at porn.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And I say guys because that's probably 95%.
Well, I mean, who would want to admit that, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
No. Oh, maybe I just did. Wes T.
Wes!
$5, right on time. Thank you, Wes.
How's it going in Florida today, Wes? Is it a lovely day in Florida?
Can you still access your porn?
First in Texas, next in Florida.
Well,
that's how it all works.
Not that far behind.
Let's move to animals because highly venomous snake found in a 7-year-old girl's bedroom. That's pretty scary.
And before we get started, I want to let you know that we do have a long explanatory video from the guy who caught the snake.
Right.
And it's about 2 minutes long. So I just want to let you know. But I think you'll appreciate it because the guy's Australian. This happened in Australia. And
I like a good accent. Oh, yeah. That's worth it. You'll hold my attention for the full 2 minutes with that. This reptile wrangler named Giffo, was dispatched to a home in Australia on report of a red-bellied black snake in a little girl's bedroom. They found it in an empty doll bag in the corner of the bedroom. Giffo says, "You're hiding, mate." He's in a bit of denial. He's been caught.
This is what they look like.
Snake catcher says the red-bellied black snakes are very toxic and they're potentially deadly venom. But so far, they haven't been tied to any deaths in Australia. So they took the snake and they set it free in a wilderness area. Let's see the video, my friend.
Now, keep in mind, see if you are if you get any anxiety from the number of times that the snake lashes up while he's holding it.
Oh,
right?
God.
Because he holds it as he explains everything. Just keep it, keep that in mind as you're watching this video.
We're looking for a red-bellied black snake curled up in a bedroom. Oh, here he is. Have a look at this. Right down in there. You're hiding, mate, hey? He's in a bit of denial that he's been caught. So red-bellied black snakes haven't actually been responsible for any deaths in Australia, but they certainly could be. They've got a very toxic hemotoxic venom that attacks the blood, the muscle, and the tissues. You can actually lose your sense of smell from their venom.
So get closer.
Why is his face in there?
Oh, it gets worse.
Our little snakes are still highly venomous. I don't know that it's more toxic. It's just they've got the same toxins, and you don't need.
He doesn't know for sure.
What is he doing?
Only one way to find out.
As you can see, he's not coming out swinging. He's not trying to attack us. Red bellies, by nature, are quite a calm species, and so he obviously is very scared. He's gotten in the house. He doesn't know how to get back out, so he's curled up in what is this thing? A bag? Or
don't
something?
Look up at the camera. Keep your eyes on the snake.
Curled up in the doll's bed. So,
oh God.
We'll wrangle him off. I just got asked before what's
we'll wrangle him off. We'll let him go free.
Oh my God.
Snake, but also the little.
Okay, he's stressing me out.
Here you go.
He's very cute, but
one.
We still don't want to get bitten, but you can see there why we call him red bellies. Unbelievable. Beautiful.
Oh my God, no.
Jeez, we don't want you in the house, son, so let's get you in here, hey? There we go.
Two.
So here he is, the very cute little red-bellied black snake that was curled up inside the little girl's bedroom. He's coming today probably because it was raining. In fact, it's about to rain right
now.
It's a very, very wet day. So he's just come in. He's tried to seek some shelter. And unfortunately, the young fella walking out of the bathroom, or should I say fortunately, didn't stand on him. He was walking out of the bathroom, of course, barefoot in the house. And then he stood on this bloke, and then he slithered off into the bedroom and hid in amongst the toys. So, crisis averted. We've got him out to a really nice patch of habitat.
Oh, God.
And he is fired up, ready and rearing to go. Okay, we'll let him go. There you go, mate.
Seven. Now, keep in mind, theoretically, I mean, no one's died from them in Australia, but it looks like he's trying.
Oh my God, that last one especially.
Yeah.
When the snake got almost all the way up to the fingers.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's a little snake, but ow.
So obviously he's playing for the camera, and maybe he's auditioning to become the next croc hunter.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I thought that was insane, and I thought you'd appreciate
that. He caused me great stress.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, yeah, people that aren't careful with stuff like that, I'm just thinking, no.
Yeah, a little much, right? Well, this next story, kind of sad, kind of sweet. A 1 in 400 million occurrence, a rare cow with two heads, four eyes, born at a farm in Louisiana. In the rarest of incidents, a calf on a farm in southwest Louisiana was born with two faces. The farm where she was born announced last month. Brough Farms, in Cassonade. A community about 90 miles west of Baton Rouge on February 28th shared on Facebook that one of their cows gave birth to a calf with two faces, four eyes, two noses, two mouths, and two ears. Here's another photo.
Poor little cow.
Look at that sweet thing. The farm said that the chance of such a calf being born was 1 in 400 million and that she would most likely have a short lifespan. That's sad. She's beaten a lot of odds by just being born alive and currently still alive at 14 hours after birth.
Wow.
Yeah, they named the calf Deux Faces, French for two faces. Aw. The calf's condition is referred to as polycephaly, which is a condition of having more than one head. In most cases, such calves are born stillborn, while others live for several hours, according to AP, with the oldest calf living about 40 days. So kind of a sad story, but you just look at that. Look at that poor creature.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
Another story that's a little bit sad, but with a happier ending.
Yeah.
This eagle got stuck in the front grill of a car, hit by a car. It looks pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It happened in Maryland. This
kinda
bald
looks like a hood
eagle,
ornament.
Right? This bald eagle, lucky enough to avoid serious injuries, So it's okay. It's going to be fine. But it got its backside stuck in the front grill there. The city county leaders posted on Facebook that animal control officers responded when a driver hit this bald eagle on the highway. The driver stopped. They realized the eagle's still alive, but trapped in the grill of the car. So the animal control officer comes out and is able to carefully pull this the back end of this eagle out of the car. That takes some help from deputies, though. There's a few of them working on it. Yeah. After a thorough exam, everyone's relieved to find out this bird looks to be in good health, and it was quickly released back into the wild. So
he looks happy, he or she.
Thank goodness. Crisis averted, and there you go. Yay.
Very
you imagine
nice.
Hitting a bald eagle, walking that's around like, to the front of your car, and you're like, oh, God, I just killed America.
That's like hitting freedom, yeah.
Right, exactly.
It's like hitting apple pie.
Yeah.
God bless America.
Mm.
Okay, yeah, are you ready for a weird one?
He's okay. Maybe that's a... I'm going to take that as a sign that America's going to be fine, and the next election will work out so that democracy lives. How about that?
Or maybe it's an omen that we're headed towards a train wreck.
Oh, great. I like my story better.
I like to live in reality sometimes.
Yeah.
There's a real chance you can win. Wildlife rescuer dons a red fox mask to feed orphaned kit.
This is creepy and sweet at the same time.
Yeah, wildlife rescuers in Virginia shared a video of an official wearing a red fox mask while syringe feeding an orphan kit. The video was posted to Facebook by the Richmond Wildlife Center, and I think we should just go to the video so you can see how sweet and creepy it is at the same time. When I first saw this video, I didn't know what I was looking at. And when it opens its mouth, it's even creepier.
Oh.
It kind of like looks the doctor in the mask. He's wearing this mask and feeding this kit.
It's a pretty elaborate costume.
Yeah, it's semi-realistic. But look, every time it looks at the camera and opens its mouth, it's really creepy. But there it is, this red fox kit being helped by the Richmond Wildlife Center. Mm. That's really cool. So the doctor, or I should say the executive director of the center, was wearing a somewhat realistic mask and rubber gloves while feeding this red fox. It had been there for a month. The center had earlier put out a call on social media for supplies, including the realistic mask. It's important to make sure that orphans that are raised in captivity do not become imprinted upon or habituated to humans. To prevent that, we minimize human sounds, create visual barriers, reduce handling, reduce multiple transfers, and wear masks for the species. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Good news.
If you could click like, I would appreciate it. If you could click subscribe and you haven't, John and I would both appreciate that as well. It is the moment to click that thumbs up button as we continue the show, because I have a list of the latest gadgets, and some of these are really pretty cool. So I thought we could run through them together.
Okay.
And see what's on the horizon as far as tech goes. So the first gadget, the release of the Smart Ring. That's the first one, right? Yeah. It's the Samsung.
I was waiting to see what you were going to say.
Very first Smart Ring. I think it's kind of interesting. I don't know. I like
or
it.
Or Big Brother-esque.
Yeah. The whole point of this is health. It brings health benefits.
You're always looking at the bright side, and I'm always the cynical one. Oh, they want to track you. They want to track your heart rate. They want to see if you're lying.
They want to do exactly that. they are designed, they say, to bring health benefits to the wearer of the ring. One ring to rule them all. Or to blur the line between the digital and physical experiences, right?
Did you watch the show Billions?
I didn't.
This isn't really a spoiler, but the bosses at the big evil firm, the greedy firm, they gave these rings or similar rings to all their employees as a gift, but they were really spying on them.
Oh.
And tracking them.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it just like the Samsung ring?
It looked exactly like this. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can it hear you and listen to you too?
Yeah. I think they were totally spying on them.
Wow. Yeah. It's a little creepy, but hey, you'll have a great blood pressure and you'll know how many steps you took that day. So
and Facebook
you'll know your heart rate
too. Facebook would be like, would you like to buy some Gatorade?
this Samsung ring is coming out. It's the Samsung Galaxy Smart Ring / Health Tracker. It is enhanced by artificial intelligence, and you can track many of your body metrics and support your wellness goals. Yeah, right. Because the health insurance industry, if they see that you've got, what, high blood pressure, your heart rate's all wonky, maybe your rates will go up. I don't know.
Yeah, that's Miss Organic asking about that. And Lori saying the Billions had an Aura ring. Yeah, I wasn't sure what it was. As long as you're not forced into a subscription service like Aura, Lori's saying,
I don't know.
I'm hesitant to wear anything that can track me like that besides my phone. I already have my phone. I don't need like my vitals going to anybody.
Sure. The next one is called Virtue. Look at that. It's called Virtue. I have it here. Sorry, my screen is going crazy. Virtue by One Layer. All right. It's designed to stream immersive video anywhere. The Virtue One smart glasses display a cinematic 120-inch screen that appears to float in front of your eyes in virtual reality, letting you view content without using any other device. So you don't have to have your phone near you, anything like that. Streaming media, communications with friends, colleagues, family. These are all reasons to get
the... Does this have a camera?
Virtue. I think so, because it'll stream. It streams everything.
So again, this is an invasion of everyone's privacy. This, remember when the Google Glass came out and everybody was calling them glass, to say it, glass holes?
Right.
Because they were going around being jerks and filming in situations where people didn't know they're being filming. There's a serious issue here.
Maybe if you're one of these people that needs to be on YouTube like 24/7, as opposed to me that needs to be on it 5 hours a day, then this would be good for you because you could just walk around live streaming your life, right?
But I mean, it's going to run in, they're going to run into huge conflicts because you can't go around filming people in private situations. You can film people in public, like you can film the outdoors, but in inside buildings and in private situations, I just see conflict here.
The next one is called the Neural Sleeve by Psionic and Fuse Project. And this is supposed to help people who have limited mobility. Oh, is that? Nope, that's not what that is.
Sorry, I was following the order.
That's okay. This is actually a menstrual cup. That's what this is. Big difference.
Winnie, oh, is this for donating your period for, what was it that story you did about, it was stem cells?
Oh, the stem cell thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't have a picture of the neural sleeve. I don't think so.
That's okay. This is a UK-based startup called EMM, and they've designed what they call a smart menstrual cup by the same name.
But you don't want a stupid one.
You just don't. It can be inserted in the body like regular other
Perhaps through injection or some other way?
No, feminine hygiene products. It's made from medical-grade silicone. It's got a conical shape fitted with smart technology that tracks your period. Built-in biosensors track the user's...
Do you really want Facebook to have that information?
No, absolutely not. But built-in biosensors track the user's blood loss and flow rate, as well as the length of the period and the menstrual cycle. And I guess then what, the government knows whether you're pregnant or not and what your period looks like? And I don't know. I don't need to track it. Honestly, do we need to track it?
I think that's for the ladies to decide, but that does not look like something, if I were in your position, I would not want anyone tracking. here's your neural sleeve.
That's the neural sleeve. Okay, so this is actually kind of cool. Well, if you like to be zapped, this is for people with limited mobility, and it uses electronic pulses or electric pulses and AI to kind of wrap around the leg and electrically stimulate people with walking difficulties. It was described as a way of remote controlling your own leg. So, hey, if it works, great. As long as it
doesn't... Remote controlling your own leg.
Yeah. You kind of zap your leg and, I don't know, help yourself move. That's what that is. The next one is called a Dyson Zone by Dyson, because when things just work properly. The technology company Dyson...
These all look very ominous.
It looks creepy. Like, this is the wave of the future. This is going to be how we'll breathe in, 20 years.
Or it's going to suck your soul out.
Or something.
It is a Dyson.
It's called the Dyson Zone, In the UK, the media is calling it very bizarre. They're calling it an air vacuum to filter air pollution and reduce noise in urban environments. Well, I will say that we do know that people that live in cities have, you know, more health troubles respiratorily, right? Because of more pollution. The wearable technology gadget combines a set of headphones that feature active noise cancellation.
It removes the noise for you, but not the people around you that are listening to a Dyson going off.
Yes, with a removable plastic visor. This wraps around the front of the face to filter out allergens, gas, and dust. So it's a filter. Air filter that you wear on your head. Hey, during fire zone time, it actually, or I would say if it works for COVID, that could have been very useful for the, you know, during the mask time.
Yeah, I don't think it would work for COVID because you need an N95. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know what the, you know, what the mask properties are. Maybe it is fancy.
We'll have to look at it. But if it's not absolutely necessary to wear this, like in our future when the whole world is burning in front of our face, I don't want to wear something like that. Unless
I don't know if it'll filter out all the crap in the air. What if you lived right next to a refinery? I might be thinking, I
would not live right next to a refinery for that exact reason.
I need the face strap, quick. The next one is the e-rosary.
Jesus Christ.
Click to pray. Literally. It's the Click to Pray e-rosary by the Vatican, released by the Pope's Worldwide Prayer Network and designed to appeal to young people. The Click to Pray e-rosary has a crucifix interface that tracks the user's worship as well as their health data. How often do you pray? How healthy are you? The church wants to know.
Who would want to buy that information?
Thank you, Satan. For once, we agree. To use the rosary...
No, I'm saying I would like to buy that information.
Oh, you would like to buy the information.
Hey, if I'm going to tempt people, I need to know where they are, what they're doing, what's important to them, what they're praying about.
Satan, maybe you need to come up with your own click to... Go
Why
to hell.
Do that when I can just hack into this one?
So listen to this, Satan. To use the rosary, the wearer makes the sign of the cross on the haptic interface of the cross, which is connected to a smartphone app, and that lets the user monitor the progress of each prayer and provides them with an audio prayer guide.
Why don't they slap one of these on all their pedophiles and track them? And give that information to the police. Sorry.
Now you're cooking with fire.
Okay, what's the next one?
Wear A+ by Respire. It's a wearable air puffer. Wear A+ was made for people suffering from allergies, worn around the neck like a collar, so it filters out irritants like pollen and dust. The collar also blows clean air toward the wearer, creating what this tech company, Respire, calls a bubble of clean air. So you just wear it around your neck. It shoots clean air up at your face, and you're breathing in that instead of the pollen and the dust. No?
Unless it overwhelms you, because if you're in a cloud of something, something below you is not going to like do the job. Seems kind of, I don't know. I would have to look at the research behind this.
Seems a little cumbersome to me.
And it doesn't seem realistic. Like when things hit you, they're in the air all around you. So yeah, that just seems kind of
This next one is a little racy. This next one is Tenuto 2.
Tenuto?
By Tenuto, T-E-N-U-T-O.
Oh, okay. So it's not for opening your bottle of wine.
Trust me. It's the wine gives me pleasure. This is a whole other kind of pleasure, all right? It's Tenuto 2 by the Mystery Vibe. They call it an innovative sex toy. A piece of wearable technology designed to be worn over the male member to help the user achieve and maintain...
What, Kim?
Fun time status.
Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah. It has four motors to improve your circulation.
Fun time.
Yes. And two wings at the base to prevent blood from draining away. It was designed as a more affordable, accessible alternative to other ED medications. So there you go. The next one is called the Syrinx by Takuchi Masakai.
This is for the government to just like tag you and track you?
No, actually, it's for people with the cancer of the larynx.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, they're trying to. You're like Madonna asking the person in the wheelchair to stand up. I mean,
no, but
for
I mean,
real.
Look at that. It looks like a dog collar for humans.
It does. But it's a wearable voice box, is what it is.
Oh,
it
okay.
functions like an electrolarynx, manually vibrating the neck to create a noise that the user can then form into words
is
using their mouth and tongue.
Is everything on this list vibrating?
Well, that's how we're rolling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It creates a personalized voice for each user based on recordings of their former voice. So it's smart.
Hmm.
Next one is the Vision Pro by Apple. Designed to be a spatial computer, Apple's Vision Pro headset lets the wearers project visual applications in a 3D environment controlled by your eye and hand movements. Created to usher in a new era of computing where the computer is projected in front of the user and can be adjusted to blot out or blend in with their physical surroundings. It does include a keyboard function, and it can be controlled by voice commands. So there are the latest gadgets coming out.
Lori has a good question for you. Are these real now or prototypes? I know that the Vision is real and being sold.
The Vision is real. The Galaxy Smart Ring is real. I think most of these things are not prototypes, but they're actually available.
Yeah, I'm looking mm-hmm. through here. They all say design, launched.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. These look like they're real. That's not fake. That's real.
That's real.
I voted for that one.
Yeah. Did you vote for Chit?
Of course.
Thank you. I'm kind of proud of that.
I would have voted for the extended edition, Kim's edition, if I could.
That wasn't in the offering.
Yeah, but you know what is in the offerings?
My kids are never going to leave.
It's time for a break.
Oh, okay. Next, we'll talk about how kids are never going to leave. And
we got trivia.
Yeah, we have Thursday trivia coming up. And we'll also talk about the next big thing in laptops, a screen you can see right through.
Yeah, I don't know if we should tease all those. Do you know how long it takes to get through the trivia?
Oh, that's
maybe
true.
We should do trivia and see where we're at.
We'll start with trivia and then go from there.
Yeah.
All right, we're right back on the After Party Live.
The After Party Live is underwritten by our audience, and without you, this show wouldn't be possible. If you can contribute $10, $15, or $20 a month, it would keep this party a rockin'. The PayPal link can be found in the About section of the YouTube channel or at the bottom of the show description. Any dollar amount is appreciated, and it all adds up. On behalf of Kim and myself, thank you for your consideration.
Aloha, bitches. It's the After Party Live.
It is the After Party Live.
It is.
Welcome to it. And thank you to ongoing contributors, Ms. Organic and Rachel C. We appreciate how
you support
the show. Thank
you. And super stickers from Pamela Kirby, $5.
Yay.
Thank you. And Wes T coming through every day with $5.
Yay.
You guys are the backbone of the show when you contribute to our small budget. I think I can operation that we have.
That's right.
I think you can too.
I think I can. It's time for Trivia Thursday. Category is World War II.
I had someone asked. I told them what the category was this morning, and they asked me, I hope it's not going to get too dark. So I made sure my questions were relatively, kind of neutral. I don't want to go into a dark place, but
right.
I mean, obviously, World War II is a very sad time. Mm-hmm. Do you want to start this one off?
I do. What year did World War II start?
You mean start as in the United States joining?
Mm-hmm. What year did World War II start? Not when the United States declared war on Japan, but what year did the actual war start?
I think that was before my dad was born, 39.
It was 1939. Well done.
And who else? Everybody's getting it. William was first to respond.
Yeah.
1939. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. While most looked to Germany's invasion of Poland as the start of World War II in 1939, Japan had already been at war with China since what year? So what year did Japan go to war with China before the start of World War II?
I don't know.
Or what was considered the start of World War II? So what year? We're looking for the year that Japan went to war with China. And in the meantime, Janet R.
Janet R.
Super chat for John D. Since his Insta story, my Instagram story made her laugh so hard the other day. You'll have to tell me which one that is, Janet. I mean, I post so many. I mean, so they're all hilarious, obviously.
That's awesome. Thank you for
Janet. That's really funny.
She did an Insta story. We'll have to go back and find it.
Yeah, I should probably start sharing those. Maybe we can do a meme of the day or something like that.
Very cool.
Okay,
yeah.
So the question was, while most looked to Germany's invasion of Poland as the start of World War II in 1939, Japan had already been at war with China since what year? And let's see if anybody has it. We have some people that are close who don't have the answer.
36?
Nope.
33?
Sandy's close.
25? 31?
No, this is not that far back.
Okay.
No.
Nope.
Relatively close.
We don't know.
I'll just give it to you. 1937.
Oh, okay.
There's little doubt that Japan wished to conquer Asia and the Pacific, and the Marco Polo Bridge incident did occur in July of 1937.
I'm going to lob you a softball. Oh, Janet says it was the Lars toilet. So creepy and funny. I have to go look at that.
Yeah. From Lars from Metallica.
Okay.
Somebody has a toilet that's basically him, and you sit in his lap. Yeah, it's kind of gross and disturbing. Oh, so I'll see if I can grab that either today or tomorrow.
Okay, good.
Show you.
This is kind of a softball. When did the United States declare war on Japan? Date and year, please.
Oh, Jesus. It's December, is it 7th or 6th? 7th. 6th.
Okay, but when did we declare war on Japan?
Didn't we declare war when we dropped the bomb?
Something happened on the 7th.
Oh, you mean Pearl Harbor. Wow, that's embarrassing. Pearl Harbor. I'm getting my dates confused. It's December 7th, right?
That's correct. So when did we declare war?
Yeah, sorry, brain fart. Mm-hmm. And my full disclaimer, although I should have known that, I always glaze over when people talk about World War II history.
Well, you're the one that picked the category, my friend.
No, this was from your list.
Oh, I did give you a list, but you didn't have to select it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to accommodate, because this was your week.
As a matter
pick.
Of fact, yes, John Slade. Yes, Debbie. It was December 8th, 1941. Remember, because Pearl Harbor happened on the 7th, and we declared war the very next day.
Oh, my bad.
A date which shall live in infamy, December 8th, 1941.
I'm just
going to
embarrass myself for the rest of this trivia.
Lori had it. I'm trying to see who had it first. December, she says, December 8th, 1941. Jim? Yeah. Pretty good, you guys. Well done.
The number two for me. The reparations placed on Germany in 1918 are likely the biggest cause of World War II. What was responsible for these reparations? What led to them? What put them into play?
Was it World War One?
Well, what came of World War One? What did World War One lead to? How did it end? Williams got it.
The Treaty of Versailles. Yeah.
While Germany did invade France, the signing of the Franco-Russian Treaty tipped the Germans' hands a bit, but to the victor go the spoils. That's what they say here. Mm-hmm. So,
what country was Adolf Hitler from?
Originally Austria.
That's correct. That was a softball.
Every time I get one, you call it easy or softball. And I think that's rude, Kim. Would you like to apologize?
I would not like to apologize to the John Daly community.
You're crushing my
self-esteem.
Not everybody knew he was from Austria.
All right.
People think of him as German. Jesus Christ. Always discounting my answers.
Oh, wow.
In what year was Hitler elected Chancellor of Germany, paving the way for him to pass legislation to cement his authoritative rule? We're looking for the year.
36.
Wrong. I mean, this is kind of a softball.
You enjoyed that too much.
Yes. We're looking for the year that Hitler was elected Chancellor of Germany. Lori, and I think Jim was first, but we'll give Jim... Sometimes the chat moves too fast for me. Jim has the first answer, but then Lori got it at split second place. Through a violent campaign of intimidation, the Nazis had seized power, and Hitler was, this is not written very well, but he was put into power 6 days after the Reichstag fire, basically what they're getting at. Anyway.
How many sectors was Germany divided into after the end of the war?
Four.
That's correct. clearly, it was a softball.
Well, that was a softball because I got it. Okay.
I didn't think that was a softball, actually. I thought I wouldn't have known that one.
You wouldn't?
Mm-mm.
Oh. I see. I thought it was kind of easy.
I would have said two, east and west.
No, no, no. Mm. It was what? Russia, U.S., British, and I think the last one is France. I should know that, but... I know the British and the Russians had sectors.
Okay. That's good knowledge right there.
But let me see. Well, see if I can find that answer later. Oh, yeah, it was France. Yeah, Great Britain, France, U.S., and the Soviet Union. Okay, my turn, right?
Yeah.
What battle was responsible for the largest loss of American soldiers' lives?
That would have been... D-Day.
No.
It was not D-Day?
That's what I thought it was.
Battle of the Bulge?
There you go. Mm-hmm. Battle of the Bulge was the last major German offensive as the war launched into Belgium, France, and Luxembourg.
I've been there. I went to the sites, the memorials there. They still have the holes, the foxholes dug in the forest. You can stand there and look at it. It's really like you're standing like you were there.
And Debbie got it as well.
Right on, Debbie. Germany.
Oh, Wes got it first, though. Sorry, Wes.
Well done, Wes. Germany, Italy, and Japan's military alliance is better known as what?
The Axis.
The Axis powers, yeah. Total softball.
Jesus Christ, there we go. Do you notice that when you get one right, I don't do that? I only give you the wrong when you're being a jerk.
Rude. How rude.
Being a jerk. The Nazis' Sieg Heil March was a pirated version of which university's fight song?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
Oh, you don't know, Kim? I think this is somewhat of a softball. Pretty easy if you ask me.
I don't know.
The Nazis' Sieg Heil March was a pirated version of which university's fight song?
Mm.
It's a prominent, I'll give you a clue, it's a prominent American university.
Hmm. Harvard? Yale?
You got it, Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
The composer of the Nazi march was familiar with the fight song because he had attended Harvard.
Which country suffered the most fatalities in World War II?
Russia.
That's correct. Although they say the Soviet Union, but same thing.
Yeah, I didn't want to correct you. What was the name of the plan? I studied Russian history or Soviet history as well. That's the thing when you study, you have to study both. Funny, huh? What was the name of the plane that dropped the atomic bomb on Nagasaki? What was the name of the plane that dropped the atomic bomb on Nagasaki?
I know it was the bombs were called Fat Man and Little Boy, right? But I don't know the name of the plane.
And I need you to stall here because part of the answer is missing, and I know...
Oh, no, I hate when that happens. Yeah, I don't know. And it's funny because it's like in there somewhere rolling around in the brain when you've seen it, you know, you've watched documentaries on it, and then when you need to recall it, you can't.
Yeah. It's kind of a tricky question because everyone's going to answer incorrectly, which is the Enola Gay.
Okay.
That is the plane that bombed Hiroshima.
Oh.
So the question is, what was the name of the plane that dropped the atomic bomb on Nagasaki?
A lot of people think Enola Gay.
So that, no, Enola Gay did not do both. Enola Gay dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. And I've been there, and that is a very emotional place to go because you can see the outline of a building. There's a metal frame dome.
Right.
And it's basically everything's gone except the, like the old rusted out metal strips that form the dome of this building. It's a very, very emotional place to go. It's not Enola Gay. I don't think anyone's going to get it. So it is called Boxcar. Boxcar, B-O-C-K-S-K-A-R. Boxcar, sometimes known as Box apostrophe S, Boxcar. It was the name of the B-29 bomber that dropped a fat man near their weapon over the Japanese. So,
which of the following countries remained neutral throughout the entire war? Was it...
And Harry
Argentina? Well done, Harry. Was it... which of the countries remained neutral throughout the war? Was it Argentina? Was it Haiti? Was it Luxembourg?
Or was it...
Or, Or was it Ireland? Yeah, one.
And repeat the list.
Argentina, Haiti, Luxembourg, Ireland.
Hmm. World War II.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I want to say maybe it was Ireland. Is this a
It was
question?
Indeed Ireland. Absolutely.
Yeah, I could see that because they're not fans of the British.
Yeah, but you would think they're right in the line of fire in that region.
Maybe they thought, hey, take over them. We'd rather work with the Germans. I don't know. I did not know that. And I'm going to have to do research on that. That's interesting. But, you know, deduction. Next up, it's estimated that what percentage of Soviet men born in 1923 died in World War II? So I'm going to give you options here. It's estimated that what percentage of Soviet men born in 1923 died in World War II? Is it 70%, 80%, 30%, or 50%? 70, 80, 30, or 50. What percentage of Soviet men born in 1923 died in World War II?
Well, we know that Russia lost the most, people in that war. I'm going to say 50%.
You would be wrong, but Trevor would be right.
Oh my
Trevor
God! Was it
80%? 80% of
that's awful.
Soviet men born in 1923 died in World War II. Yeah, they were just like cannon fodder. They won, but they won by losing a lot of men. Hmm. It was an overwhelming force.
Wojtek, W-O-J-T-E-K, Wojtek, was a Polish corporal known not just for protecting his troops, but his passion for drinking beer, smoking, and marching. What kind of animal was he? Was he a dog, a horse, a bear, or a chimp?
Can you repeat that? That was a very convoluted question.
Wojtek, W-O-J-T-E-K, okay. Which I don't know if their J is silent. In Poland, is it Wojtek? Wojtek was a Polish corporal known not for protecting just his troops, but for his passion for drinking beer, smoking, and marching. Was he a dog, a horse, a bear, or a chimp?
A horse.
He was a bear.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm wrong. And let's see who was first with the right answer. I think it was Josh.
Awesome.
Yeah, Josh is first.
Well done.
Very good. Okay. And five children and a pregnant woman were killed by a Japanese wind ship weapon. So wind ship weapon is the name of the weapon. While on a picnic in which U.S. state? Five children and a pregnant woman were killed by a Japanese wind ship weapon. While on a picnic in which U.S. state? You ready for your options?
Yeah.
California, Oregon, Washington, or Idaho? California, Oregon, Washington, or Idaho?
Oregon.
You are correct. Yeah. Oregon, the Japanese had launched no fewer than 9,000 of these indiscriminate wind ship weapons during the war.
Yeah, I think there's a monument on the Oregon coast for that.
Have you seen it?
I haven't, but I've read about it. Okay. The Battle of Midway was fought almost entirely with U-boats, naval cruisers, aircraft, or tanks. The Battle of Midway was fought almost entirely with U-boats, naval cruisers, aircraft, or tank.
Aircraft?
Yes.
Was that a softball?
No. Don't be a snotty. Don't be a snotty, Johnny. Don't do it.
British engineer Robert Watson Watt was working on a death ray in 1935, and this ultimately became what invention? So British engineer Robert Watson Watt was working on a death ray in 1935, and this ultimately became what invention? I'm going to give you options here, okay? Laser, radar, sonar, or EMP?
Laser.
Wrong. And you know who has it right? Lori.
Lori
has it. Yes. Specifically, Watson Watt was using radio waves and radar, and this is an acronym for radio detection and ranging.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at least nowadays.
Nice. Yeah. In what year did the last Japanese soldier finally surrender? Was it 1954, 1964, 1974, or 1984? In what year did the last Japanese soldier...
Oh, is this a story of somebody who didn't know that the war was
finally
over?
Finally surrender. Obviously. One of those, yeah.
So can you give the list and the options again?
Was it 54, 64, 74, or 84?
54.
It was 19... Oh.
1974,
whoever got it.
What?
I think Jim has it.
Jim,
it was 1974,
it.
Yeah.
So was this way up north? Like, where was this?
Don't ask questions.
Well, I give you like little background information when it's confusing.
I'm going to run through this trivia like boom, boom, boom. I don't know the answer. It doesn't say.
Okay. We'll have to look that up.
Mm-hmm.
We won't, but it would be nice. It's an idea. The Japanese surrendered in 1945 aboard which U.S. battleship? The USS Arizona, the USS Missouri, USS Independence, or the USS Wisconsin? The Japanese surrendered in 1945 aboard which U.S. battleship? Arizona, Missouri, Independence, or Wisconsin?
The Arizona was at the bottom of Pearl Harbor at that point.
And
I think the Missouri was as well. I want to say it was Independence. Was it Independence?
You are wrong, but Jim, too quick for everyone else. It was the Missouri. Here's a little background information. As it happens, Truman was from Independence, Missouri, and the USS Arizona was sunk in Pearl Harbor, as you said.
Mm. True or false? The CIA concealed cameras and listening devices into dead rats because they would blend into the surroundings and no one would want to pick them up.
They don't specify where, it's just that they did it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with true.
It is true.
No background information?
No.
Okay. World War II, I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm being such a brat.
I don't know why I'm being such a brat.
World War II saw the use of the first jet fighters by which country? World War II saw the use of the first jet fighters by which country?
America.
Wrong.
Oh.
Oh, Jim's making a good point. It wasn't called the CIA back then. But yeah, was it the Office of Special Projects or something? There was a name for it. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's what the question says on my trivia thing, so.
It's okay.
That's what it is.
So your guess was? For the fighter jets, first country?
The U.S.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you're wrong, but...
Yeah.
Sorry. William got it. Germany.
Oh, okay.
Germany. The Messerschmitt ME-262 was first deployed as a fighter jet. It was the first one in the history of the world.
Nazi scientists considered unleashing potato beetles to destroy English crops, but decided against it because it would destroy the entire ecosystem. True or false?
Could you repeat the question?
Nazi scientists, this is true or false, okay. Nazi scientists considered unleashing potato beetles to destroy English crops, but decided against it because it would destroy the entire ecosystem.
I'm going to go with true.
It is false.
Okay, good.
They didn't do it because they didn't have enough beetles. Too many beetles required to do that.
Of course.
And they didn't
they
have
Nazis.
Them.
Why am I thinking that they care about the environment?
That's right.
They're not Belinda Weymouth.
No.
Which dish was called, this is funny, because you remember Freedom Fries, right?
Yeah.
Which dish was called Freedom Steak during World War II? Was it Salisbury steak, steak and kidney pie, hamburger, or meatloaf? Which dish was called Freedom Steak during World War II? Salisbury steak, steak and kidney pie, hamburger, or meatloaf? This is my last question, so.
I'm going to say hamburgers.
Yes, you are correct. And also Trevor Star in Hollywood. There you go. Hamburger. And that makes sense because the city of Hamburg. And that's where the word comes from.
Who was the British Prime Minister at the outbreak of World War II?
Neville Chamberlain.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. Was that a softball?
Was that a softball, Kim McAllister?
I mean, clearly it must have been.
Because I got it, so obviously it was an easy question.
That was it for me. Do you have more?
I do have some hard ones. These are the hard balls already.
Okay.
Who drove around in a car codenamed America with a K instead of a C, until 1943?
You're not giving us options?
Mm-mm.
That's a very bizarre question.
Drove around in a car codenamed America, AMERIKA, until 1943.
Does William have it?
No, it was Adolf Hitler.
Oh, really?
Isn't that weird? Yeah, Jim, it was Hitler. What was the name of the cipher machine that Germany used to encrypt messages?
Oh, I knew this. Someone's going to get it real quick. I'm blanking, but when I hear it, I'll know it. Is
Enigma.
It Enigma? Yeah, it's Enigma.
Enigma,
yeah.
Machine.
Jim got it, yeah.
Jim got it. Jim! Yeah,
there was a movie about it, right?
Two more questions. This is in the, I think this is easy, but it's in the hard section. What words accompany the image of Rosie the Riveter on her most of her recruitment poster?
What image?
What words? It's Rosie the Riveter with the words.
We can do it?
We can do it. Oh, and the last one.
Well, obviously it was easy, like you
said. It should have been in the easy section because John got it.
WASP was one of the most influential American civilian military organizations during World War II. But what does it stand for?
White Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
No.
Oh. So repeat the question.
WASP was one of the most influential American civilian military organizations during World War II. What does it stand for?
I don't know. I've only
If you were a WASP, you were a, does anybody have it? Women Air Force Service Pilots. That's what you were. Women Air Force Service Pilots.
Oh, yeah. Debbie got it actually first. But Debbie got Women Air Support Pilots.
And I will give you this. I said that was my last one. This is my last one. You ready? How old was the youngest soldier in the U.S. Army when he enlisted in World War II?
Oh, so somebody faked their age. I'm going to go with, I want to say 16, but it's probably going to be younger, but I'll go 16.
Younger.
15.
12.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Christ.
Can you imagine?
How they let that go? Wow.
And thus goes trivia, Thursday trivia for this week. I thought that was a good one.
Yeah, that was tough. I'm glad we didn't get too dark. It's kind of a sad subject.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is why I didn't want us to tease like 4 or 5 stories because we have 2 minutes left or so. Do you want to do entertainment stories?
Sure. Let's do the entertainment stories. I don't know if you had this one. These are the two that I didn't tease. But Christie Brinkley has been diagnosed with skin cancer. And interestingly, she wasn't even at her own doctor's appointment. Her daughter was seeing the doctor and she happened to be in the room. And it was one of those things at the end of the appointment where she said, "Hey, I got this thing on my face. What do you think of that?" And the doctor took one look at her and is like, "I'm going to need to biopsy that one." It was a little tiny dot that she could feel as she applied her foundation. He took a look and knew I needed a biopsy immediately. So it turns out she has basal cell carcinoma. Millions of people are diagnosed with this every year. They can, almost all of them can be successfully removed without complications if there's early detection and treatment. And Brinkley said hers was caught really early. They stitched her up to perfection and she said she's back to normal and looking really good. And she is urging everyone, be diligent with your sun protection. She said she got serious about it later in her life because back when she was young, we were putting baby oil on our bodies to bake in the sun, right?
Is that
and
what you were
she's
doing?
Older than I am. Yeah, in the 80s and early 90s, we were still slathering ourselves with Johnson's baby oil. And then you could sometimes hear it sizzling on your skin. Horrible. But now she's focused on applying SPF 30 and wearing long sleeves with hats and wide brims. And she said regular total body checks are a total must. Glad they caught that early for her.
Yeah, I had a spot on my my forearm on my left side. And the reason I was, why I elevated my concern is this is the side, you know, this is the side when you're driving that's in the sun all the time, right?
Yeah.
And I had it checked out by my doctor, and they said, well, yeah, let's take a photo, send a photo to a dermatologist. But the frustrating part is when you go to the dermatologist, he didn't think it was anything, but do you ever have this experience where they don't really give you a straight answer? I'm like, you're a trained dermatologist. Why can't you tell me what this is?
What do you mean they don't give you a straight answer?
It's like well, we don't. I'm not really concerned about it, but you know, if it changes, well, you know, let us know and blah blah blah. No. And like, that's not a satisfactory answer for me.
No.
But you would think if somebody goes to school for that long that they would visually be able to like figure out what something is.
Right.
So I might get a second opinion just because this is the arm that's facing the sun all the time.
Yeah, I wasn't alone. Debbie said we used to use cocoa butter at the poolside. Ms. Organic says Hawaiian tropic oil, the smell of my mom and aunts. Absolutely. Wes says baby oil and reflecting with tinfoil. That is exactly right. Can you believe we did that? God, this is before
we
realized.
Yeah, we had a story about tanning, and we'll do it tomorrow, hopefully. But you have one more story about C-3PO?
C-3PO. This is a good one. You want to do it or you want me to?
You can do it.
Okay, so this is an original C-3PO head. It was used in a Star Wars movie. If I had the money, Wes, I would buy it for you. It was sold at auction, and I couldn't have afforded it even if I was trying to win it. Anthony Daniels was in the movie, right? He is making a fortune off of the things he's selling, including the C-3PO head from Return of the Jedi. The actor sold the prop at auction from Prop Store Auction for $843,750.
Wow. I'm surprised that he had it. They must have given it to him as a gift because usually actors do not get these things. They, you know, they go.
He had it from the movie. Yeah. They Prop Store says the head matches several scenes from the film, and it was the only head still in a private collection before it was sold. As of yet, it's still unclear who paid the $843,000 for it. The fiberglass head is made up of three components. It still lights up. So the lucky mystery buyer got a really cool addition to probably what's, you know, a nice Star Wars. You'd think this isn't your first purchase, right? You'd probably have a lot more.
Jim has the same surprise. They're surprised that the studio let him keep it.
Yeah. He's saying that he'd rather it go on display or to someone who might really enjoy it rather than gathering dust in boxes and cupboards in his house. So he also sold a custom Pittsburgh Penguins hockey jersey that was given to him by the team after he participated in a charity event. Also, a gingerbread cookie that he saved that was given to him on his last day of shooting The Last Jedi, among some other items as well.
That's weird. You know, this guy was like, oh, all this stuff's going to be valuable. I'm gonna put this in the freezer.
Mm-hmm. Put it in the box and sell it someday.
Viewfinder's president says, or asks, is that another Lego brick? That's
it looks
callback.
Like it. Yeah.
That's a callback to yesterday.
Yeah. Kind of cool. It's big, the head.
Yeah.
Bigger than his head, for sure.
Yeah, very cool. On the cancer, skin cancer and tanning thing, Donna's saying, John, the cancer can pop up wherever it wants to. The sun exposure in your left arm could lead to a lesion on your ankle. I didn't know that was the case.
Oh, that's weird.
Oh, huh. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm not worried about like getting the Diet Coke, Coke Zero out of my life. You know, all the
if it's
toxic
not one thing, it's another.
The plastic that's in our water. Yeah. Everything, you know, the president of the United States, whether we're going to have like an older guy or another older guy, man, it's hard to keep track of everything that could potentially stress you out. It's like part of me gets why people don't turn on the news, right?
Mm-hmm. Wes says
are you driving?
Wes says he does have a story about how he got to keep that head.
Oh, he does.
He said it was the third movie and it was already popular. And that's all we know, because that's all Wes has told us so far. And I don't have the story about how he managed to keep the head. I just know he sold it for a mint.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of another After Party. People to thank, right, Kim?
Yeah, we have people to thank. Among them, Pamela Kirby. Thank you so much for your $5 super sticker. Huge appreciation to you. Huge appreciation to Wes with a $5 super sticker as well. And to Janet R. I have to go look for that toilet thing now.
Well,
on
first
your
you have to get on Instagram. Because I've been trying to push Kim to get on Instagram and she forgot her password.
Thank you, Janet R. for the $10 super sticker. Thank you for watching the show, for our ongoing contributors as well.
Miss Organic and Rachel C. You guys rock. Thank you so much. Have a great afternoon, Kim.
See you tomorrow. Bye, everybody. Bye, John Daly.
Bye.
The After Party Live would like to thank the following contributors and viewers like you.